You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Wednesday to you. It's game day here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Ole Miss tonight at Bud Walton Arena, 6 o'clock tip-off on ESPN2. We'll get into that game today. Christina Long will join me in studio. We'll hear Chen Coleman's thoughts, Chris Beard's thoughts on the game as well. But we start today with Brad Logan. He's from the 24/7 sports site Inside the Rebels there in Oxford. Brad's on our podcast for the second time this year, but in the last year. He also joined us whenever Arkansas played Ole Miss in football back in November. Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Matt. Thanks very much for having me on. It's great seeing you in Memphis again. The big win for Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl. So, yeah, it was a fun year for football for sure, covering it for Ole Miss and, of course, for the Southeastern Conference.
What did you think of the Liberty Bowl game?
It was fun. I mean, it to me was very similar to, you know, we may talk about the Gator Bowl in a moment, but I hate really using the word insignificant, but it really felt like, you know, the way the bowls are going now, and so much emphasis is put on the college football playoff, it just kind of de-emphasizes your common bowl games that, you know, all of us growing up, you know, really appreciated the Gator Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, the Outback Bowl, and now things have just changed dramatically. So I feel like it was kind of de-emphasized, although I thought Arkansas had a terrific crowd, and I thought it was really weird seeing players that you knew weren't going to play for the Hogs next year probably playing their last game, but it was fun watching – you know, college football in any capacity for me, it really doesn't matter who plays. But I thought Arkansas played well, and I thought the fans had a lot of fun.
It's weird, Brad, because, you know, like I've heard a lot of people talk about the TV ratings and what the non-playoff bowl games got, you know, like the Gator Bowl. They got a big number because they got the lead-in crowd from the Sugar Bowl that was, you know, before them on the second. And like Arkansas, I think about 4.2 million is what ESPN averaged for the Arkansas-Texas Tech game. It pales in comparison to what the playoff games have gotten, but I have heard people say, well, you know, that the TV ratings were strong for these non-playoff games. You know, it's maybe a signal that the bowl games are healthy. I actually look at it a different way. I think the bowl games are very unhealthy when you look at the number of players who are opting out, when you look at the players who are, you know, not in the playoff who are deciding to go get into the transfer portal. It's just it feels like the non-playoff bowls are almost becoming about as relevant as the NIT, where you watch the game if your team's involved, and I guess maybe you watch more football bowl games maybe out of curiosity and there's nothing else on TV. But I just don't feel like the non-playoff bowls are in a very good spot, even if the TV numbers are strong.
You know, Matt, me either, but I think there'll always be a place for non-playoff bowls because of revenue from television. I mean, you know, you looked at the crowd at the Liberty Bowl. I actually thought the Liberty Bowl crowd was pretty good. And, you know, Harold Grader is a dear friend, and he is a associate executive director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Mm-hmm. I thought they did as good a job as they could with the press in a suite, I guess is a lack of a better word, because they tore down the press box on the west side. So, I do think there will be a place for bowl games, but I think now more than ever they're as de-emphasized as they ever have been. You know, the crowd at the Taxler Gator Bowl, I think they announced – I didn't see the official announcement. I think it was around 15,000-20,000. There was not many people there. And I think the sad part, I think, for the Taxler Gator Bowl is the entire crowd consists of Duke fans and Ole Miss fans, and there were your 10,000-15,000 people. The local community used to – provide at least 50% of the crowd for these games. And we just didn't see that in Jacksonville. I don't know if they saw that in Orlando for the Citrus Bowl or if they saw that in Tampa for the ReliaQuest Bowl, Outback Bowl, whatever they call it now. So I think that's a huge component. I don't know that we saw a lot of locals at the Liberty Bowl, man. I think mostly what we saw was a handful of Texas Tech fans and then a whole lot of Arkansas fans. And that's kind of what made up the dynamic. I think in order for those bowls to succeed, they have to have a local tie-in. And I don't think – as long as the local do not support their bowls in person, like the two that I went to, I don't think that's a good precedent set for the future for the non-playoff bowls.
Just a lot of empty seats at the bowl games. You know, and I haven't watched a whole lot of bowl games other than New Year's Eve. I did watch the Alabama-Michigan game, the second half of it. I was able to get back and watch that. I watched a good bit of South Carolina and Illinois. But outside of those, and you know, the Liberty Bowl, obviously, I just didn't watch a whole lot of playoff games. And even in the non-playoff games that I did watch, I did turn on a little bit of the Mayonnaise Bowl or the Duke's Mayo Bowl between who's the Virginia Tech and Minnesota. That place was empty. Arkansas played out there about 9 years ago, 8 years ago, and it wasn't full, but it wasn't empty either, if you know what I mean. And Virginia Tech was one of the opponents. And you know, sometimes it's about how the fan base feels about their coach and how they feel about their season. I understand that, but it just seems like those bowl games are just not in a real healthy spot. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, how they move forward as the playoff moves forward and the teams keep expanding, because I don't think the playoff is done expanding yet, and I'm not even sure it's going to be done after 14 teams, and that's what it's looking like in 2026. Ole Miss, what's the feeling down there after not getting into the playoff football-wise?
Well, anytime, Matt, that you win 10 games, I don't care what program you're at, I have a hard time calling it a failure. I think two things can be true. I think it can be a disappointing season, but I do not think it is a failure. I mean, you've got Lane Kiffin winning 10 games 4 out of the last 5 years. That is not something that's happened throughout the history of the Ole Miss program. They won 11 games once during Lane Kiffin's tenure, and they're recruiting at a very high level. The high school recruiting has improved tremendously. But, you know, I wrote that when Mike Bianco – and we this is a baseball analogy, but when Mike Bianco took over – for Coach Harrison back in 2001, maybe, it was a very, very poor program. And then he kind of built it up, and by 2005, they were playing super regionals in Oxford. And fast forward a couple of years later, they just had a difficult time getting to Omaha. They would eventually get there in 14, but in 12 and 13, they were having pretty good years up until that point. They just couldn't get over the hump. And what I keep saying, and it's kind of a Nick Saban analogy, you build a monster, you got to feed it. And, you know, fan bases want more. I mean, I'm not telling you or anybody that watches this that are Arkansas fans anymore about Dave Van Horn, and we don't have to rehash what's happened in Omaha for Arkansas to win a national championship. They've had the teams to do that, and they just have not got over the hump. But coming back into Ole Miss, and, you know, with Lane Kiffin, he just keeps building and building. Ole Miss fans really invested into this roster last year, and not getting to a college football playoff is a bit of a disappointment, but you have to kind of look at the overall grand scheme of things when you look at a program over the last 100 or so years. It's definitely a very, very great time for Ole Miss. I think across all sports, but specifically football, with what Lane Kiffin has done, just hitting the ground running and being in a bowl game every year, and the significance of the Gator Bowl, I kind of go back to it had a spring game atmosphere to it, maybe a little bit more, but wasn't a huge crowd. But I think what he's built in Oxford continues to do through the portal and through the high school ranks. Ole Miss is going to be a really good team next year. I think the over-under probably going to be around 8 or 9 with the schedule as it is. But they've got a pretty good offense coming back. The big problem, Matt, for Ole Miss next year is filling the shoes of the Ole Miss defense, which I think was historically the best defense in the history of Ole Miss football. When players like Walter Nolan, Prince Imamiel, and Chris Poop Hall, J.J. Pegues, and kind of the list goes on, Trey Washington, Amos, the talented defensive back, so Troy Amos, it's going to be tough defensively for Ole Miss. They're going to have to score a lot of points next year, but I think they have a pretty good team.
Brad Logan with us. Brad, you know, for people who don't know, you follow Arkansas football pretty closely. You've told me in the past that you've got family here, and it's a team that you've always, you know, kept a close eye on. I wonder what do you think it says about Arkansas and about Ole Miss, the fact that Ole Miss continually over the last couple of years has come up here and taken some of Arkansas's best players. You mentioned Pooh Paul, Jalen Braxton's going there now, Luke Haz is going there, Patrick Kudus. What's it say?
Well, it just says that, you know, Arkansas is a program that's done quite well. I don't begin to know what the collective situation is like in Arkansas, but all I can see is on the outside looking in is Ole Miss evaluates its talent with Walker Jones and the Grove Collective. And they saw a couple of players, I think, played against Arkansas over in Fayetteville. They kind of shined. If you think about some of those players, now Braxton did not play; he was injured during the game. But Luke Haas, I thought, played really well. And I think it's a situation where Ole Miss has, an opportunity to kind of look around the SEC and to see players that have entered the portal and evaluate them on that. So I mean, Arkansas's had, I think, what, 31 players enter the transfer portal, and that's a situation where I think Ole Miss just kind of evaluates talent as best they can. And on the flip side, I think Sam and his team have done a really good job of hitting the portal running and filling as many needs as possible. I don't know what the landscape's going to look like next year for them offensively and defensively as well. But I think those specific players that you named, when they entered the portal, they definitely caught the eye of Ole Miss. And I think too, Matt, some of these players I think that enter the portal have seen the transition that Chris Poupon made to Ole Miss and how well he did. He'll be a high draft pick. He did not play in the Tax-Slayer Gator Bowl, and he was advised not to, but he really wanted to play. I was told by his representation, some of his family, that he was really sad that he couldn't play. So he definitely, in fact, he actually contemplated coming back for another year, but I think there was just too much money on the table playing in the National Football League. He made the decision to go pro. But I think to answer your question, the positive experience that Chris Poupon has had in Oxford has definitely helped some of these Arkansas players, I would think, making the decision to come to Ole Miss.
Got one more football question for you before we transition to basketball in this Arkansas Ole Miss game tonight. Arkansas did get Kavion Broussard, offensive tackle from Ole Miss, to sign out of the transfer portal. What do you know about him, and what can fans expect from him?
Yep, really good player. And I think Ole Miss was sad to see him go. I know a lot of the fans were. He was a very highly decorated player that Ole Miss got out of high school, and someone that I think will do really well under Sam Pittman and that Arkansas offense. I think he's someone that can come in and be an immediate impact player. Didn't play a lot last year, kind of developing under John Garrison, the offensive line coach, but he's definitely someone that Arkansas fans can definitely pay attention to and will add some depth. Maybe even could play next year for Arkansas.
Ole Miss comes into this game tonight. They're 12-2 overall, 1-0 in the SEC. You look at their losses, both to good teams. They lost to Purdue on a buzzer beater, lost to Memphis up at the FedEx Forum in late December, beat Georgia the other day by 12 in the SEC opener. This is year two for Chris Beard there. Just what's he done to change maybe the perception of that program?
Yeah, I think it's just I've had people tell me that Ole Miss historically is the worst program in the SEC in regards to the difficulty to winning. And that, Lane, not Lane, but Andy Kennedy kind of changed that perception a little bit when he was at Ole Miss. He never really had any success in the pavilion, but he did have some success. Tad Smith Coliseum was a place to where I don't think there's been any other arena in the Southeastern Conference where they call the game because of a rainout. There was not a facility that was up to the standards of, say, a Bud Walton Arena. So he's definitely changed that dynamic. He was recruited really well. He's recruited the portal really well. And he's got a lot of people coming to the games. And I expect a really good crowd on Saturday when Ole Miss hosts LSU. But this game against Arkansas is interesting to me. The Hogs on an 8-2 advantage over Ole Miss over the last 10 games. Ole Miss has not won in Fayetteville since 2015 when it won 96-82. It's a facility that is very difficult to win. Ole Miss last beat Arkansas last year at home. They beat the Razorbacks, but Arkansas holds a pretty big advantage over Ole Miss in Fayetteville. I think it's like 27-11. So just a tough place to play. And ESPN Bet has it right now as the Hogs, the 2.5-point favorite. Ole Miss, obviously ranked number 22 in the country. Arkansas coming off a loss. The Rebels coming off a win over a Georgia team that just absolutely destroyed Kentucky last night. Mike White's got a really good team. I think Ole Miss, Matt, has a really good team. But, kind of coming back to your original question, he being Chris Beard, has breathed life into this program. And Kermit Davis had some success early. Ole Miss was able to hire him from Middle Tennessee State. At that point, Ross Bjork was the athletic director, but Keith Carter was kind of overseeing that hire, so he felt responsible for that. He knew he had to go out, and he got a really good coach in Chris Beard, someone that has got some Final Four experiences with Texas and Texas Tech. And I think the key component in this is he's breathed life into the program. They kind of fell apart late last year, but he's retooled the roster. He's really went heavy in the portal, and kind of definitely wants to make a run this year. But this is a year, Matt, as you well know, and your listeners and viewers know, the best the SEC maybe has ever been in men's basketball. So it's going to be a difficult task. And many have said, Lunardi, I think I heard him say, you go 500 in the SEC, win your home games, and you may be a 7 or 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. We have not heard that before.
Yeah, I mean, John Calipari said you'd go 7-11 in the SEC and still make the NCAA tournament this year. You know, we saw Jalen Murray and Matthew Morrell last year at Ole Miss. Sean Padula is leading them in scoring right now, transferred in from Virginia Tech. What's he added to the team?
A whole lot. 14.1 points per game leading this team. Kind of a floor general. And, you know, we've seen, you know, teams throughout the SEC that have struggled at the point guard position. But the good thing about Padula is he can play the one or he can play the two. You know, Juju could run the point as well. Murray coming back is actually leading the team in assists. The problem for Ole Miss has been Matthew Morrell has been injured, and he has just has not played himself. He's averaging 12 a game, but even in some of those games, Matt, he's just has not played well. Also, a big component for Ole Miss is rebounding. Malik Dill leads the team at 5.5 rebounds a game, but he has just not been enough muscle down low. They've really struggled down low. Jamin Brakefield did not play well against Memphis the other night. And both Brakefield, Morrell played better. Brakefield played much better against Georgia. The problem for Ole Miss has been on the defensive end. They were playing really well defensively earlier in the year, and they kind of fell apart against Memphis a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, so much so that Chris Beard said in the postgame press availability is, basically, I'm summarizing here, but Memphis wanted it more. Memphis played harder. I think they probably had some very spirited practices, what I'm told, in between that Memphis and Georgia game. It's going to take a collective effort to beat Arkansas tonight. I feel like John Calipari is going to be preaching the tune. If I followed him long enough, I followed him in Memphis in the early goings in the early 2000s. And then, of course, following from afar when he was at Kentucky and now at Arkansas. If there's anybody that's better about getting his team motivated with their backs against the wall, it's John Calipari. I feel like Ole Miss will get Arkansas's best shot tonight. I also feel like Ole Miss is somewhat walking into a hornet's nest. You know, John's kind of called the attendance out a little bit this year. You know, the attendance at Bud Walton has not been great, but it hasn't been great across the SEC in non-conference action. We saw last night Georgia and Mike White really pumped, really, really filled it up, and now Kentucky came in, and we saw Florida kind of fill it up with Tennessee, the top-ranked team, coming in. So I'll be interested to see what the attendance is tonight. It's a good time. You know, it's early, but I don't know about the weather factoring in Northwest Arkansas. I know we're expected to get weather in Mississippi on Friday, so that could play a factor. But if this is the time to where John rallies the troops, Matt, I think this is a game he does that. Ole Miss better play its A game, where it can get run out of the building tonight in Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, I think as long as you got your parka and your ski mask, you should be fine tonight. Only going to be about 15 walking into the arena. Hey, I saw where Mykael Brown-Jones is not going to be able to play in this game. How big of a loss is that?
Yeah, I don't know how big it was to lose him against Georgia. We didn't see him play when he was injured against Georgia, and he was listed as on the availability report is out. We feel like it was because of the injury that sustained against Georgia. He's kind of a rebound getter. He's someone that can kind of go to the bucket, and, you know, he hasn't played a ton tonight or over the season, only averaging 6.1 points per game. But he's someone that has been pretty good on the defensive end, so that's where they'll definitely miss him. And kind of coming in and getting some – just kind of adding some minutes to the team. So they'll have to continue to go down the bench and try to find some people that can fill some minutes.
Get you out of here on this. You know, Chris Beard's teams, when I've watched them in the past, whether it be at Texas Tech, wherever, it seems like they're the type that they kind of want to yuck it up. They want to get you into a kind of a low-scoring fist fight type matchup. I mean, is that what Ole Miss looks like this year?
Yeah, a little bit of a rock fight is what I like to call it. And Malik Dia is someone, too, that Ole Miss needs to get bigger. And I know that's hard to do, and that's difficult, you know, to kind of process what I'm saying. It's just you have to get wide down low. And then Brakefield tries to do that. He kind of gets skittish at times. But Ole Miss hasn't had that big man that can just go up and get the rebound. And, you know, that unfortunately, Ole Miss fans have heard people say that a lot. And that's just not during the tenure of Chris Beard, but it's during the tenure of Andy Kennedy. And they've always had that 6'8", 6'9", post player, and they really need a big guy that can go up and get the rebound. Dia has not played as well as Ole Miss fans would have liked, and I think you could probably say the same thing for Chris Beard. I think tonight you want to keep it close as much as you can. Play really good defense, and Ole Miss didn't do that against Memphis. But they need to play really good defense like they did against Georgia and force Arkansas to make some mistakes. We've seen this Arkansas team make mistakes this year. If they can continue to get into the grill of Arkansas and to force some turnovers, I think that's the key for Ole Miss. Keep this down into the 50s or 60s would be ideal for Ole Miss. A player I would be interested or folks that need to watch is Waro Klafke. He's someone that's shooting 62% from three, but has not played a stitch of defense. And that's one thing I think what's kept him off the floor. He can shoot it from anywhere on the floor. Familiar to a lot of Arkansas fans, remember Alex Dillard, who never found a shot he didn't like when he played for Nolan in that really good team back in 93, 94, maybe even later. My memory leaves me. But Dillard always had a shot, didn't have a shot he didn't like. That's almost like clapping. So if he comes in and starts pulling from all over the place, he's definitely fun to watch. But tonight I want to watch Matthew Morrell and to see if he is healthier than he's been over the last couple of years. And Jalen Murray has not played up to his standard. So if Murray and Brakefield can kind of put some things together, Padula kind of does what Padula does and Ole Miss plays some defense and get just a little bit of post play from Dia or John Bull. Ole Miss has got a shot tonight in Fayetteville, but all those things kind of have to happen because I really think Arkansas is going to play well. I think it's going to be a juiced-up crowd. I think they smell blood in the water. And the one thing Arkansas does not want to do, as you well know, is start off 0-2 in the SEC. You cannot. You just cannot lose home games. And if you're Arkansas, you just cannot lose a home game to Ole Miss.
Brad Logan from Inside the Rebels, the 24/7 sports site there at Ole Miss. Brad, we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, appreciate you. Hey, we want to tell you and get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest from recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. Also want to tell you can subscribe to our podcast, Apple and Spotify. Search Whole Hog Sports. We've got a video version on our Whole Hog Sports YouTube page, and we post the podcast each day to our Facebook and Twitter page with the username Whole Hog Sports. When we come back, Christina Long will join me. We'll continue talking Arkansas Ole Miss, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Christina Long, the managing editor of Hogs Illustrated, with me now. If we could just tell you the things we talk about off air, talking about family and kids, and we've had a fun conversation here as we come back. Doing all right?
Yeah, doing great.
Doing as well as I am?
Honestly, I don't know if anybody is at this point. Matt is downright jolly today.
It's because I've been asleep. I told you in Memphis that I was going to get more sleep this year. That was my New Year's resolution. And I have been trying to make myself get to bed by about 9 o'clock every night. And it's been working. Now, I'm not sleeping the whole way through because my body's used to waking up after about 6 hours.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to like force myself to go back to sleep. But it's
what time do your kids go to bed? Like how much you time they've do got you have before nine?
So the latest bedtime for our kids is 8:30.
Okay.
So not a lot.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. But that's probably why you were staying up so late before.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm doing is I'm not watching as many basketball games.
Oh.
So like last night I watched the end of Kentucky and Georgia, which went on forever. I told Jack, I said, you can stay up and watch these last 4 minutes with me. And this was like at like 7:55. There's 4 minutes left in the game. That game didn't end till like 8:25. That's how long the last 4 minutes took to play of that game. And it wasn't even like it was that close of a contest. It was just a lot of fouling, a lot of there were some reviews in there, and I mean it was rough. But no, I didn't stay up and watch Texas Auburn. I did watch Florida Tennessee. I want to talk about these a little bit later, but yeah, that's basically my deal. Is I'm just not staying up watching as much basketball.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think you're gonna survive without watching all that basketball.
I'm gonna feel better because of this. Hey, speaking of Auburn, Caleb Wooden, who is a safety from Auburn, he committed to play football for Arkansas yesterday. Richard Davenport was on our show yesterday, and I asked him. I said, "Is there any player that you're keeping an eye on?" He said, "Watch for Caleb Wooden," and sure enough, he was right. 19th transfer for Arkansas in this portal cycle. 6'1", 189 pounds. You might remember him when Auburn beat up Arkansas here in Fayetteville in 2023. He had a 74-yard fumble return in that game. He didn't score a touchdown, but I think it set up a first and goal for Auburn. Probably that's one of his big career highlights. I mean, you look at his numbers, they're not great. Started 9 of 28 games, most of those this year, a six-game starter this year for the Tigers in his career at Auburn. 41 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 4 pass breakups, 2 picks, a sack, and that fumble recovery that he had against the Razorbacks. So not great numbers, but I think any time that you get a player who an SEC team – and especially an SEC team the caliber of Auburn, you know, like this Marcus Dumervil, the lineman from Maryland, he originally went to LSU. When you get a player who's good enough to be signed by those types of programs, I think that, you know, there's got to be some excitement about them when they come into your program 3 or 4 more years, more mature.
Yeah, and the wide receiver I wrote about the other day, Omega Blake, that they got from Charlotte, he started his career and spent, I think, 3 seasons at South Carolina, and he played quite a bit in that last season. So, yeah, I think SEC experience is certainly valuable. You know, he, in the story Richard wrote about Caleb Wooden, he talked about, you know, the relationship he had with Travis Williams, you know, the Auburn connection there. And so, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that this is somebody they feel like they see a lot in. I think, you know, they've brought in a lot as far as defensive backs are concerned. I think they've brought in more corners than safeties. Wooden is a safety. But, you know, they're getting a lot out of the portal in that department, which they also did last year. You know, they had to replace a lot there, and they're going to have to replace a lot at defensive back again. And, you know, I think they have more work to do. You know, there's 19 guys coming in so far. I think they have some more work to do. I think they want some more defensive linemen. I think maybe another offensive lineman. So they're not, you know, they're not done kind of shopping yet, but I think we're kind of getting to where there should just be a few more.
They're getting close to hitting their budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We could get a couple more stores to go into, but not a whole lot of money left to spend. Mm-hmm. At Auburn, he would have played for Rohan Gaines, who was a defensive analyst, I believe, there at Auburn this season. He got hired yesterday as the defensive backs coach at Jacksonville State. Rohan, obviously, I mean, for most of you, will probably remember him, but a 4-year starter at Arkansas from 2012 to 15. Defensive analyst at Auburn this last season. He spent the 23 season on Jimbo Fisher's staff at A&M as a graduate assistant, previously coached at his alma mater high school down in Georgia, helped them to a state championship. So always kind of cool to see when these former players get an on-field job somewhere. And I don't know if you're like me, but any time that there's a former Razorback who gets a job, I'm really interested to watch his career progression.
Right, because, I mean, the world of coaching is so small, and you never know where these guys are going to end up. If he, you know, moves up the ranks, does really well over the course of his career, which is just beginning, you know, maybe he coaches in some capacity at Arkansas one day. You know, it's just always interesting to track where these guys go, whose kind of tree they become part of, you know, because athletics can be such a small world, especially in terms of coaching.
Charles Kelly is the new head coach of Jacksonville State. That's where Rich Rodriguez was, and he went back to West Virginia. Kelly had been the co-DC at Auburn this year, so there's the connection between he and Rohan Gaines. Arkansas Ole Miss tonight, 6 o'clock tip-off on ESPN2. Tom Hart and Dane Bradshaw are going to be on the call. The Rebels, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, 12-2 overall, and they are undefeated in conference play. They won their conference opener last weekend against Georgia. Razorbacks 11-3, 0-1 in SEC play after that loss to Tennessee the other day in Knoxville. Chris Beard earlier this week previewed this game, And we've got a couple of sound bites from him to play for you here. Beard obviously was involved in, or we think he was involved in the Arkansas coaching search last spring before John Calipari ultimately got the job here at the Razorbacks. Chris Beard, I believe he got a nice extension or a pay raise or maybe both out of it. This is what he had to say, though, about playing Arkansas and playing Calipari in his first year with the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I would say even though it's Coach Cal's first year at Arkansas, the team and the roster has his DNA all over it. You know, you got talented players, some guys on this team that'll play in the NBA. Got a balance between veterans, you know, mostly portal guys, and then some young talent. Athletic, you know, definitely the ability to play off the dribble, get downhill. Defensively, three legitimate shot blockers on this Arkansas team. So, yeah, I mean, you watch the team play. It looks like a Coach Cal team, even though it's their first year.
Now, one of those so-called legitimate shot blockers who he references, Vonimir Visic, a 7'2" sophomore forward for Arkansas. In the SEC availability report that was released last night, Visic is listed as questionable for this game. We don't know why he's questionable. You know, they don't give a reason. It's just they're probable, they're questionable, doubtful, and so on and so forth. He did deal with an ankle injury last month that caused him to miss that game against UTSA on December 7th. And I wonder if the ankle is still bothering him, because you look at his numbers pre-injury and his numbers post-injury. Pre-injury, averaging 12 points and 22 minutes a game throughout the first eight games of the season. And that included the games against Illinois and Baylor. So there's some good competition in there. The last five games since the injury, 2.8 points per game and less than 11 minutes per game. So obviously the contribution has gone down across the board, not just points, but just in terms of minutes that he's been available for this team. I wonder if the ankle's still bothering him.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the most likely, you know, given what we know, that's probably what it is. I mean, unless something else has come up that we just don't know about. But yeah, I mean, this team, we have known since the start of the year that they were thin. They just straight up do not have a lot of numbers.
And they've been snake bit on top of that.
Exactly.
Like.
And so, you know, they're already thin. They're especially thin in terms of bigs. You know, it sucks because it's like they get Jonas Adu back and then they lose Imusich. So it's just, you know, how they're able to. It's a bad way to start SEC play with the way that the league has performed so far. They're going to have to find a way to work around it, but it does give them an extra challenge on top of how challenging the start of their SEC slate is.
On top of Visic, on the availability report, Ole Miss Ford, as we mentioned a moment ago with Brad, Mikel Brown-Jones is out for this game on the availability report. He got injured against Georgia the other day. He's a Ford. Averages 6.1 points, 2.2 rebounds, and 12 minutes per game. So obviously a little bit of a contribution there that Ole Miss has to replace tonight for this game. Go back to the Chris Beard soundbites. He had this to say about game planning. And I don't know that he was talking necessarily just about Arkansas, but just Ole Miss and how they game plan and what kind of team he wants overall.
Definitely got to have strategy with their length in size, you know, legitimate size and athleticism around the basket. So absolutely, that's a focal part of the game plan. You know, when to help, when not to help, when to stay connected, when to be in rotations, things like that. That's no secret. You know, in terms of pace of play, we just got to get to the point where our offense helps our defense and our defense helps our offense. And so there's different tempos to play depending on, you know, where you're playing, who you're playing, time and score. I think we're trying to get our guys to understand, you know, our pace is dictated a lot by what's going on with the game.
Chris Beard's been fairly good against Arkansas. I mean, last year Ole Miss beat up Musselman's team pretty bad.
I think a lot of teams in the SEC did
that. That was one of their worst showings of the year last year when they lost down there. I think that was the game where Brazil turned his ankle, and that was kind of like it felt like maybe the turning point of the season. There was still some, it's like, you know, mid to late January, there was still a little bit of excitement about the team, and it fizzled out pretty quickly after that. But they lost by 26 in Oxford last year. A game that didn't count, Arkansas lost to Texas in an exhibition game when they opened the Moody Center by 30, and they beat Beard's team, obviously, at the NCAA tournament in the second round one year. But it seems like for the most part, you know, and this is not a this is not just exclusive to Eric Musselman coach teams. A lot of teams really struggle with the style that they play.
Yeah, I mean, Beard, he's kind of known for physical teams. And I think, you know, Anthony wrote a little bit and asked Chin Coleman yesterday about, you know, the physicality aspect, how against Tennessee that wasn't really there for Arkansas. They kind of struggled with that some. And how are they kind of working on that? Because it's going to be a problem throughout the SEC. It's going to start with an Ole Miss team that's very physical. When you are without one of your bigs in Ivicic, how does that kind of impact the physicality aspect and what you're able to do inside? So there's going to be a lot to watch there, and I worry that it's a matchup problem for Arkansas.
Did you notice his shirt? Beard shirt?
Yes.
Did you notice it until I pointed it out to you?
Well, I pointed it out to you. Okay. I didn't know what the band... I pointed out that it was a band t-shirt. I couldn't read the shirt. You knew it immediately just from the look of it. I couldn't read the words.
I was aghast because none of the people that work in this room, including back in the production room, none of them knew who Bob Seger...
I know who Bob Seger is.
You knew him, but you knew one song,
I know,
right?
Two songs. Okay. I know the two really popular songs.
Others here didn't know Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, and it just...
I have not heard... I did not know... I know Bob Seger. I did not know Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band.
You got a thought, Sydney? No, yes. She's just shaking her head. She's one of the ones who didn't know who Bob Seger was. One of the great rock and roll
Night
bands
moves,
of all time.
Old time rock and roll. Those
Against the Wind, the greatest song ever written.
I'm
going
to look
performed.
It up when I leave. I'm going to listen to it on the drive home.
Like a Rock. We were talking about this, and I was showing you the Chevy Silverado commercials here between, like when I was a kid, you could not watch a Chevy Silverado commercial without Like a Rock. And yeah. I mean, and it wasn't like just a pass, you know, because sometimes you'll get the license for a song and you'll use it for a season, you know, so, you know, you might have it for like 6 months or so. I mean, Like a Rock was on the Chevy commercials for probably over 10 years. I would guess 10 to 15 years. They used that for the Silverado commercials. And quite frankly, they ought to bring it back because it's the greatest. I think it's one of the greatest advertising campaigns that's ever existed.
I hope we get a Super Bowl ad with that song, like a throwback Super Bowl ad.
That would be cool.
That'd be pretty neat. If it was as iconic as it sounds like it was, then I feel like that would be cool.
And I'm also kind of a sucker for truck commercials.
Which is a wild statement. It's like such an interesting interest.
There was a Super Bowl. There was a Super Bowl commercial. This has been, it's been in the last 10 to 15 years. And it was a Ram commercial. And it was Paul Harvey reading a poem about the farmer. I think the poem is called The Farmer. And it was outstanding. It's like a 2-minute commercial. If you haven't seen it, go look this up. But Ram, that kind of got my attention in terms of like what they do from an advertising standpoint. And I don't think that there's another company out there right now. There might be one, I don't know. But I can't think of another company that's out there right now that has a better advertising campaign, you know, year in and year out than Ram has.
We did. So we
also
do
I'm a Ram owner, so I might be a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Bias.
We do a weekly trivia at Puritan downtown, and not free advertising for Puritan. We do a weekly trivia there, and last year they had one that was a Name That Tune trivia, and it was TV commercial, like song, or they would basically play the audio of old commercials, and you would have to name what the product was that it was advertising.
That'd be pretty good at this.
I think you'd love it, and they would bleep out the name of the product if they said it, and there was one that we couldn't get that was, it was a Billy Dee Williams Colt 45 commercial. And we couldn't get it. We knew it was some kind of drink. We knew it was a beer of some kind, but we couldn't figure it out. And then last night we were at trivia, and they did, at the start of the year, they do a trivia where they pull a question from all the ones they had the year before. And the Colt 45 question was back. That was a repeat one. And we knew it because we'd gotten it wrong before. But you would have thrived in the Name That Tune commercial trivia.
They play Like a Rock. You'll know.
I'll know now. I wouldn't have known before. Now I will. I learn something new every time I record with Matt.
I love the Bob Seger shirt. I there's something about the Bob Seger shirt that to me just says Chris Beard's program. It's old school. It's tough. It fits him.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like I haven't seen, I've never seen a coach do a press conference in a band t-shirt, or at least that I can remember. And it's funny because I feel like, I guess it just makes me think of how, you know, like Alabama fans this season were like clutching pearls over Kalen DeBoer, like wearing an Alabama t-shirt on the sideline instead of like, I don't know, a sweater or whatever.
Was he wearing an Alabama band t-shirt or an Alabama Crimson Tide
t-shirt? No, it was an Alabama
t-shirt.
Crimson Tide t-shirt. Because coaches do that all the time now, right? Okay. I mean, like coaches are in t-shirts all the time, but apparently in Alabama that's like a problem, I guess.
If you could wear a band t-shirt to a press conference, what would you wear?
Ooh, I don't have a lot of band t-shirts. I'm trying to think if there's one to a press conference. I'd want to, like, project something cool. I'd want to, like, look like I have better or more interesting music taste than I actually do. If I wanted to be, if it were me, like, at my current age doing a press conference and I wanted to, like, relate to people, the kind of people that I feel like would be in the audience at said press conference, meaning sports reporters.
Okay.
It would probably be, as far as a band I'm actually interested in, an artist I'm actually interested in, it would probably be Paul Simon. Paul Simon is like probably my favorite. Like if I had to choose,
you were
like
rocking Paul Simon as where.
Yes, I'm a big Paul Simon head. Yes, because my mom, like, we listened to that all the time when I was a kid. So if I wanted to like look cool and interesting, it would probably be Paul Simon. If I were like going with like band T-shirts I actually own, I have like one, and it's a
Maggie. You actually own one?
I own one. It's a Maggie Rogers T-shirt. I got it this year at a Maggie Rogers show in Rogers at the Amp. That's the only one I have, but I don't feel like anybody in the room except one person who also went to the Maggie Rogers show with me, who's on the beat, would recognize me.
I don't know. I don't know who this person is. I'm sorry.
I figured you would not.
I would wear my George Strait Stetson cowboy hat.
That feels right.
Yes. I actually have two. All right. We'll get back to Arkansas basketball talk here in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass, serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. During the commercial break, I learned the sad reality that nobody has boots here that they wear. Unlike me, I wear mine every day. But we'll move on to talk about more Arkansas Ole Miss. 6 o'clock tonight, ESPN2. Chin Coleman, who's Arkansas's associate head coach, he helped preview the game yesterday. This is what John Calipari does. Calipari speaks after the games, and then he has his assistant coaches go out and do the game previews, which personally, I like this. I like being able to get more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know if difference of opinion is the right word, but
a different perspective. Different perspective. Way of talking about it. I mean, we talk all the time with football about how we wish we got to talk to coordinators and assistants more.
Never talked to them outside of the season.
Yep.
And so I like this. I like being able to get a different perspective. That's a good word. And this is what Chin Coleman had to say about Arkansas playing Ole Miss, and in particular their rebounding and physicality after struggling in those areas against Tennessee last week.
We emphasized it. But I think that now we understand. And so the things that we emphasize, I think we're able to now have their attention in terms of, you know, we got enough stops. They still shot under 40%. And we just didn't obviously capitalize on when we made them miss securing the rebound. And so we are doing a better job, if not emphasizing it even more, which we did extremely, how well of an offensive rebounding team Tennessee was. And I think that now our antennas are up and we're prepared for this challenge.
I might say out of all the assistant coaches, I think Chin Coleman may be the most thoughtful and just analytical in his responses. I really like listening to him.
Yeah, he has really great insight. I remember, you know, Anthony wrote a whole story before the season about how, you know, John Calipari had kind of highlighted Chin Coleman once as like one of the guys that's kind of next up as far as getting his own head coaching job. And, you know, he definitely has the press conference aspect of it down.
So Arkansas, we mentioned a minute ago that Zvonimir Ivicic is going to be questionable for this game. He may play. We'll see if he does. Notably, absent from the availability report is Nelly Davis, the guard who played against Tennessee the other day, played 25 minutes, did not score. Went 0 for 4, all of his shots from three-point range. Not listed on the availability report, so the expectation is that he will play tonight against Ole Miss. Chin Coleman was asked about Davis and how they get him going, because obviously the expectation was that he was going to be one of this team's best scorers this year, and it just hasn't really materialized yet. He's had a few games where, you know, he's shown flashes, but for the most part, it's been a disappointing season for him, and this is what Chin Coleman had to say about Nelly.
Yeah, we're going to coach is going to try to do some things to get him going, but obviously, you know, being out for 2-3 weeks, and that's a tough game to come back and rehab against, right, when it's a very high level game. He wasn't prepared. I don't think anyone in that situation would just come out and be lights out and shoot lights out and play lights out after having so much time off and coming back into that game. And so we're trying to work him back into what we're doing, and we're going to try to do as much as we can to get him some easy looks, not that all of his attempts are threes. We think that Jonell is a scorer that can score on all three levels. So we're trying to help him, but he's putting in the work to help himself. So it'll happen. He'll play better. He'll come through. We have all the confidence in the world in him.
Nelly Davis should play tonight. Maybe just an 8-man rotation. We'll see how many Arkansas is able to get out there in this game against Ole Miss. You know, the thing that I mentioned, and I think I was pretty critical of him on Monday with Davis, and you know, maybe we don't understand everything he's going through with this wrist injury, because, you know, I will say this: when you see a player on the sideline with, I don't know what you'd call it. Would you call it a brace that he was wearing, a cast? I mean, it's something.
It's more like a brace.
Something,
yeah,
to immobilize, mm-hmm, wrist movement.
Yeah.
That tells you that there's, you know, that there's something going on there that isn't really right. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine how much a wrist injury would be upsetting. I don't know if that's the word. How much it could, you know, basically how much it could affect a shooter. Mm-hmm. Frustrating. That's,
yeah,
the word I was going for. How frustrating it would be to a shooter.
Yeah.
But at FAU, he was a great shooter, shot over 40% from three down there, but he was also really good at getting to the rim, at getting fouled, and that's the element of his game that we haven't seen this year, and I think that's what Chin Coleman's talking about there, that, you know, they've got to have more out of him than just being a jump shooter.
Yeah, I think it's hard with the injury, and I think, you know, hopefully if they can actually get him to work inside a little bit more, maybe that would make it a little easier for him to actually do something. But anytime, I mean, basketball, doing almost anything in basketball with an injured wrist is.
Well, I wonder if having a wrist injury makes it hard to put the ball on the floor,
yeah,
and drive it.
Exactly.
You know, we'll see. And maybe they're asking him to do something different in this offense than what he did.
That
at
was
FAU.
What I was wondering is, yeah, maybe they haven't prioritized that part of his game with him since he got here. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but.
One more soundbite here from Chin Coleman. This was about forgetting the Tennessee game, and I thought this was maybe the most insightful thing that he had to say during his news conference yesterday with reporters. Just take a listen to this, what he had to say about that Tennessee game and how he said that's not this Arkansas team.
We don't think we're that far off. We don't feel like that was us in terms of our output that we gave. That wasn't us. And so that wasn't even a mediocre version of us, and we're gonna emphasize that we have to be us in terms of our competitiveness, our spirit, our fight, all of that stuff, every single night out in this league. That wasn't us, and so yeah, Billy missed a layup, a lob dunk that he normally makes. He's a high athletic kid, and so he normally makes that again. That was an experience that we want to, you know, you have to have amnesia, right, in this league. And so some of those things we want to forget, and some of them we want to learn from. So you either win or you learn, and we want to learn from some of the experiences in that game, and some of that stuff we want to forget, and we want to chalk it up as that's not our team. That's not who we are. And so, again, excited about showing who we are the next time we get an opportunity to play, which is Wednesday against Ole Miss.
That's not even a mediocre version of us.
Yeah.
What a quote.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like you said, he's a great talker. You know, I enjoy whenever we get to hear from him. But no, I mean, this kind of can't be who they are, you know? I mean, it's hard to open conference play in a really tough conference against the number one team in the country. They're going to face teams that are extremely difficult throughout the season. They have to be more competitive than they were, and they know that. But I think tonight will be really telling as far as how much better they look. It'll be hard with all the stuff we've talked about, with the injuries, with how thin they are. It's going to be difficult. But yeah, they do kind of have to show themselves, show everybody around who they actually are going to be and how they're actually going to play. And it's interesting because, you know, there's still so much season left, right? I mean, Eric Musselman's teams, it felt like every year the thing was that they looked bad to start SEC play. And mm-hmm. then they turn it on at the end when they needed to the most. You know, there's still lots of time for this Arkansas time to do that. They've lost one SEC game, you know? So there's still lots of time, but it's at the same time, you have to kind of show some progress. You have to kind of start working on it now to try to get to the level that you're at, because it's really not going to get that much easier.
And I feel like you got to win a lot of home games.
Yes.
And that, you know, I said this yesterday, I think this is the most important week of the season to this point for this team, because you don't have to win both of these games this mm-hmm. week. But you can't lose both of them.
Yeah.
I don't think you can. And certainly you can't go out and lay another, you know, egg like they did against Tennessee. And, you know, you got Florida coming in this weekend, and they look awfully good. But, you know, what's interesting to me after these games last night, and if you didn't see the Florida-Tennessee game, wow. I mean, what a performance from Florida last night. Tennessee loses that game 73-43, and they had 35 points with like 2 minutes yeah. left. They had a couple of threes. They got a layup there toward the end and ended up, you know, making it look, I guess, as good as you can, you know, based on.
Yeah.
But they'd only made 7 shots for the first 37
they
minutes of the game.
They didn't score for the first like 7 or 8, right?
It was 7+.
Yeah.
And that was a free throw.
Yeah.
They made a free throw. Wow. And then, I mean, it was even longer before they had a field goal. Florida just made them look very pedestrian. I was telling you this earlier. I can't remember a time, and I'm sure there have been other times, but when a number one team just looked that bad in a game. And, you know, like number one teams, they'll get blown out from time to time, but you don't get blown out going 1-for-24 from three for the first 38 minutes and, you know, only having 35 points at the final media timeout. That was what was really striking about that game last night in Gainesville. Florida beats Tennessee. Yeah, Kentucky, they go on the road. They didn't look very good, losing to Georgia by 13. Home teams this year in SEC play, just 13 games, but are 10-3. And I don't have what the average margin of victory is for the home team, but I'm guessing it's probably close to 20 points or more. Because, like, over the weekend, Tennessee beat Arkansas by 24, and Alabama beat OU by 28, and A&M beat Texas by 20. I mean, there have been some real blowouts. Missouri beat LSU by 16 last night at home. It just feels like this is going to be one of those years, based on the first, you know, couple of game nights, where, you know, you may have some trouble winning on the road this year. And not that it's ever easy, but it looks like it's even harder this time around.
Definitely. And so it goes back to what you said. Arkansas has to capitalize on its yeah. home opportunities, because, you know, coaches all the time talk about what a difficult place to play it is at Bud Walton. And so they need to be able to take advantage of that, because, yeah, I mean, no team is getting much on the road. Now, it's a small sample size, like you said. It's the first, you know, week or so of SEC play. But, yeah, I mean, I'll be interested to look up that margin of victory. And, you know, not every game is going to be like that. I don't expect Arkansas, if they win tonight, to win by 20. But I, you know, it's the way the SEC is shaking out is so interesting. You know, Hank Layton, our photographer, texted in our group chat last night, the SEC stands for 16 Elite Cannibals, which I thought was really perfect. And I think it's just going to be, it's going to be crazy to see what some of the conference records look like for some of these teams, even the teams at the very top.
There's 3 SEC games tonight. The home team that is ranked lower than the visitor team is favored in 2
really?
Of those. Arkansas, 4.5-point favorite over Ole Miss. Oklahoma, ranked number 17, is a 3.5-point favorite to beat Texas A&M tonight in Norman. And then Alabama, ranked number 5, going to South Carolina. The Tide are a 9.5-point favorite in that game. But what a – it just – this. I don't know that I've ever really – there have been pockets where I have. But it's been a long time since I've really enjoyed watching – SEC basketball, and I feel like this year, maybe because of, and I don't know if you can use the word unpredictability, because maybe the home teams are going to be predicted to win these games by a bunch, but I will use that word. I feel like, you know, just maybe the excitement of the unknown. Even like Texas and Auburn last night, Texas ended up making that a fairly close game at the end. I didn't stay up and watch that, as we've discussed. But I think there's a lot of exciting basketball to come in this league this year. And
definitely,
that's fun because it hasn't always been that way.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that people talk about with college basketball and kind of, you know, the popularity of college basketball in general is the tournament is so popular. The regular season is not all that popular in terms of viewership, you know, among the average fan. Now, obviously, if you're a huge fan of a particular team, you know, Arkansas fans are going to watch Arkansas basketball for the most part. But I think, you know, for the average fan nationwide, the college basketball regular season is not, you know, appointment viewing. But I think the SEC is becoming more of that, at least here in the early going, because like you said, it can be a little unpredictable. You know, you're seeing teams that are really good. You don't expect, now it's weird because we have seen some blowouts, which you wouldn't expect given the level, you know, we talked about the level of team that the SEC has, how they might break the record for tournament teams, you know. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't think that we would be seeing blowouts, which we are, but it also feels like you're watching good basketball. So it's I'm curious how it's going to play out the more, you know, the larger sample size we get, kind of how those scores play out, the more we see some of these matchups. But I think there is, because of how hot the SEC was coming into conference play, I think it's created a lot more intrigue than would usually be around kind of the early regular season.
And we'll probably see Bud Walton Arena full tonight for the first time, or close to full for the first time since that Kansas game in the preseason. I think people are finally going to start using their tickets now that SEC play has rolled around. It always helps when you got a ranking in front of your name, and Ole Miss ranked number 23 going into this game tonight. Of course, 6 o'clock tip-off, ESPN2. We'll be home to our website, wholehogsports.com, throughout the night. We'll have plenty of coverage from this game, and we'll discuss it tomorrow. Hope we'll see you tomorrow on our podcast or tonight at our website. Have a great day, everyone. Stay warm.